Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Circumstances around his death making news again this week. Looking at that one, as well as impeachment and health scares. Ed Blakely is back in studio this week, joining myself, Sean Britton, behind the microphone. If you enjoy what you hear on US of Ed week after week, drop us a review, share us on socials, or tell a friend. Everyone was in the loop, it was no secret, says pay-for-play ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, about Donald Trump's Ukraine blackmail and bribery. But while some in the Trump White House turn on the conspirator-in-chief, Republicans are backing their man. Ed, what's going on?
Well, let's see, for the moment, if Mulvaney comes forward, if other players like Pompeo come forward, it's all over. Now, the only person who really will want to come forward is John Bolton, because he wants to sell his book. And I know the title of this book, Quid Pro Quo. So I'm going to get a royalty for the title of this book, because I think that's what the book should be called. And Bolton has no reason to do anything except step on Trump, because Trump stepped on him. I think the American people, something like 71% believe that the president did this. About 51 to 55% think he should be thrown out of office. But even that's not enough, because it's such a serious act. If we got 70 or 80%, it would be a different story. But the president has more difficulty than this, because using public funds for bribery is also a crime. And what if an indictment were issued on the president for this crime? Do the rules about protecting the president hold then? It's hard to say, but why not a criminal act? And certainly at some point, his tax returns are going to come out. So I think this hospital visit was basically to see maybe I could get a change of identity. He can be female. grow a beard. Get some false identity so I can get out of the country. Things are not looking good for him. And then he loses two elections in a row. Surely they were close elections. But these were in deep red states, where he should have won them quite handily and easily. So I think there's trouble brewing. And I think the real trouble for him is if he doesn't win this election, the Democrats are so angry, he'll go to jail. If he wins the election and the Democrats get the Senate, he'll be impeached. Boy, terrible things could happen to this man. And even if he doesn't, let's say they don't gain the Senate, is the Senate going to put up with this for four more years? I don't think so. So there's real trouble brewing, and this trouble will lead to something not good for this president.
I'm still slightly caught up on the fact maybe his mystery hospital visit was for a gender reassignment, then he could beat Hillary Clinton at being the first female president as well.
Yeah, he's going for everything he can at this point. I'm not sure what he can do to get the voters back. It's obvious that an awful lot of voters have abandoned him because he's lost these elections. And when you start thinking of states like Pennsylvania and Florida, which are going to be big in the electoral vote, how he could carry them at this point is hard to see.
Just something a little bit more serious this week. A report from the United Nations says the U.S. has the world's highest rate of children in detention, mostly from kids in immigration-related custody. Now, these numbers are a little bit shaky. The report's author, Manfred Nowak, has come forward and said initially claims of more than 100,000 were a little bit misconstrued and based on 2015 reporting. However, new U.S. government data released this month found just shy of 70,000 migrant children have been held in government custody over the past year. Ed, I know there's no easy answers here, but, these have got to affect how the U.S. actually sees itself as a country, as I think our own detention issues have done here in Australia.
Yeah, but this is a slightly different issue here. These immigrants children are coming, a lot of them without parents, and they have to be put somewhere. So to say that these children are being held by the United States is a bit of an overstatement. They're being sent to the United States by their parents, who can't take care of them anymore because of the drug wars and things like this. And guess who's taking the drugs? So the United States is to blame for their country's falling apart. So it's a slightly different issue, but nonetheless, it's a big problem. What can you do in a problem like this? You certainly can't just send the kids off to orphanages, because there are very few orphanages anyway in the United States. You can't put them in foster care because they're not U.S. citizens. But Trump has made the whole situation worse by making it hard for the parents to surrender themselves with the children. So I think the first step to do is get back to the old policies where the parents and the children are treated as a unit, and the parents and children are left to basically on their own reconnaissance until they go to trial. Now, some of them clearly skip the bail. And that's where you have the situation we have in the United States, where there are a bunch of kids, the Dreamers, whose parents did skip the bail, and the kids grew up in the United States not even really knowing where their home country is, and they're not citizens. Again, a dilemma, and as you said, we don't have answers for this, but it's a bigger problem than we even mentioned, because there's something like 70 million people not living in their home countries around the world, in immigration camps, in migration camps, rather. And so we have a problem that's bigger than the United States. But the lack of humanity here is a central issue. And that's a terrible thing, as you can see by the cages that these young people are in.
Speaking of drugs, meth, we're on it. South Dakota's new anti-meth campaign has been rising eyebrows worldwide, but it is starting a larger conversation about methamphetamine abuse in the States. We've talked several times about the scourge of oxy and painkillers over the counter, but not so much about meth, which is a really, really significant problem in the heartland. Any thoughts?
Well, I don't have any thoughts, but I have an awful lot of sympathy. It's not just the heartland of the United States, it's the heartland of Australia. These small towns have huge meth problems. Young people don't have enough to do. They're not engaged with the society. They don't feel that anyone cares about them, that they have a future in the community. It's really torn apart Native American and Aboriginal communities because the stuff is cheap and it gets their minds off the real problems. How we attack this, just like the children's problem, means that the nation has to take it on. As it has tobacco. And it looks like with these suits against the gum companies, the nation may take that on. But these are national problems and international problems. The United States is a manifestation of them.
And we're going to talk about Jeffrey Epstein before I let you go. But first, you've been away for a few weeks. A lot going on in the world. We thought we'd do a little bit of a worldwide whip around. First, in Israel, Bibi failed to form a coalition. Now opposition leader Benny Gantz has failed to do the same. More elections in Israel's future, Ed.
Yes, but there's something else going on here. We can't forget the fact that Bibi is under indictment. And these latest attacks on the Gaza Strip and so forth are diversions, like Trump, from his own possibility of facing jail. So he's being impeached, basically, and it doesn't look like the courts are going to let him free. So even if his party gets in, he's still in trouble. I suspect this next time around, people are going to say, Bibi can't do it. Clearly, it means the other party has to come together. And it's a good thing that they didn't form a two-party coalition here, because that would mean Bibi would be running the country again. Where this is going to end, I don't know. But they've just had their third elections in Spain, and they didn't get anywhere. And the Catalonians still won out. So we have this kind of internal unrest all over the world. And Israel is very important because of the fragility of the entire Middle East. In Israel, the weaker it gets, the stronger some forces like ISIS become. So this is a big issue for all of us.
Well, south of the border, I mean, unrest. We're talking about unrest. Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia. Reports of a massacre of Morales supporters by the Bolivian right-wing interim government, at least 8 killed. That's been denied by the government, who have also released an audio recording they claim proves Morales was behind food blockages in the country. What's going on?
Well, again, we were just talking about the violence in a couple of countries in the elections. The elections in this country were like the Venezuelan elections, where the left-wing leader claimed he'd won the election, and there are huge irregularities and he wanted to stay on. But the military, interestingly enough, forced him out. And there should be new elections in that country. And I think the left and the right need to form a coalition government here, because Bolivia is a country that really can't take a lot of consternation. It's one of the few countries that doesn't have a port. So it's really dependent on forces outside it to stay alive. And the president fled to Mexico. This puts more burden on the Mexicans and puts them open to more Trump stamping, more than they can take. So this is a very, very sad situation. All the northern tier of South America is in trouble. And let's hope the Colombians don't fall victim again to the same troubles.
In fact, while we're in the region, I mean, speaking of Chile, the economy's taken a massive plunge and riots now engulfing the country.
Yeah, now you can't blame that one on me. I was in Italy and not in Chile, even though I work a lot in Chile and Santiago. This is a surprise to me because my visits to Chile over the last several years have found it a very quiet country, with many people a little bit disappointed in the government was there, a left-wing government was there, but not outraged. And now people are outraged. And this outrage seems to be coming from the fact that the government promised too much too soon. And so the lowest end of the spectrum that's been holding on is really upset. The disparities between the rich and poor in Santiago and other cities are very easy to see. And those disparities need to be dealt with. But you bring in a guy who's to the right, and what's he do? He starts giving more to people on the right, and it's left the country in a perilous position.
And Hong Kong, protesters have barricaded themselves inside one university, turning it into a veritable fortress under siege by police. Demands continuing to push for an investigation into police brutality and universal suffrage, amongst other things. Ed, how do you see this one continuing to go?
Well, I think it can't continue. The students are leaving the university now. It's pretty obvious that these police officers are not from Hong Kong. They are from China, mainland China. They are rough guys, and their roughness is beginning to wear on the young people and other people in Hong Kong, and particularly the economic instability. So people in their 40s and 50s that need to bring money in so these young people can go to school aren't able to do that. So the Chinese may be playing it smart by accident, letting it play itself out. I think the smart thing for them to do now is let the leader of the Hong Kong government go. She said she wants to go. They should say, look, let's hold fresh elections, bring in somebody, and then, of course, stack the election so the people on the ticket are favorable to them, and get out of town, as it were. Maybe there's room in Mexico for her.
Yeah, letting it go, probably not China's first instinct, but they may be learning some very important, very worrying lessons in Hong Kong.
Yeah, and, you know, she could go to Bolivia. They're needing a leader. Why not?
Yeah, let's go someplace like Bolivia. That's what I say. Finally, Jeffrey Epstein. You and I haven't discussed Epstein much. I think it's fair to say.
No, I don't know him. I have never been to one of his parties. All that stuff that's been said about me is not true.
That is something
I couldn't get into the party, but what the heck.
Well, let's face it. I mean, you wouldn't want to be associated with him right now because, to say the least, the circumstances of his death were highly, highly suspect. But then the reports essentially boil down to, well, he's still dead. Just thought we'd touch on it this week with Prince Andrew, good pal of the dead pederast and sex trafficker.
I don't know Prince Andrew
yeah,
either.
Yeah, haven't met Prince Andrew in many parties. Look, he had a disastrous interview this week trying to clear his name. And the two guards in charge of watching Epstein the night he died now being charged with falsifying reports. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
How much were they paid to falsify those reports? Look, the President of the United States, you forgot to mention his name, is associated with this. People's memories go when they're around the president, and sometimes their whole body goes. I think Epstein, if the story ever comes out, it's going to be worse than we ever thought. And this is a problem. And Prince Andrew, et cetera, they weren't hanging around him just for the heck of it. Epstein had something on all these people. And at some point, whatever he has on them is going to come out. A guy like Epstein doesn't do the kind of things he did without keeping records. And those records are somewhere. And you can be sure the FBI and a whole bunch of other people are looking for those records right now.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2ser.com/support. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and check us out on the old social medias, Facebook and Twitter, at US of Ed.